am watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, we'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to earth's soaring cry, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, sea, and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and our sufferer's tears will dry, when our Savior shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, we'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy, and in all his holy mountain nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, and love without alloy, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, we'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease, in a glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release, for our Jesus to come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, we'll have no tempter then. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. I am watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, we'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again.
I'm looking for him.
Satan will be bound.
I'm looking for
1,000 years, we'll have no tempter.
I'm looking for him.
After
are you
Jesus
looking for him?
Shall come back
are you expecting
again?
Him at any moment? His coming could be at absolutely any moment. Nothing has to happen but Jesus to come. Nothing has to happen but a trumpet sound. Oh, what a day that's going to be today. We've got a wonderful subject. All of my radio friends down east in North Carolina, WSTS, here in Charlotte, some FM stations, some other stations, welcome, everybody. Hey, listen, we start a new year, and I need you to be my partner. I need you to be my partner. I need you to share the burden of this ministry. It is a financial burden, and I want you to feel the burden of it with me, but I want you more than anything to be blessed and to be affected and to be changed. And today, we're going to talk about this great latter rain, this great Holy Ghost revival. Is it all right if I call it a river? I'm sorry. Well, I meant river or revival, but river is what I'm trying to use today because Jesus used that word. Remember in John 7:35, when he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, speaking of Ezekiel 47, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. I mean, that's what Jesus called it, a river. Ezekiel called it a river. And so today, I'm calling it a Holy Ghost river. But I got something special about that river that I want to get to you. And I want it to get to everybody. I hope you'll share it with everybody in your friends list. Every one of you who's my friend can go over there, if you're on Facebook, that is. Of course, not internet or radio. You can call people either way and tell them to listen. But on internet, on Facebook, hit that little share button and let it go to everybody in your family and let them hear this, because it is imperative. The word I'm going to use, you see it on the screen, whosoever will. Whosoever will. I'm here to tell you, when this latter rain begins, it will be whosoever will. There won't be no limited atonement or limited redemption. There won't be none of this, I hate to even name the name Calvinism. There won't be no more of this Calvinism or Reformed theology, as they call themselves. It's Reformed, all right. Reformed from the Bible to something that somebody dreamed up, because there is no such thing as a objection or a biblical understanding of something contrary to whosoever will. My Father is not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, my friend, whosoever will be the heart throb of this coming revival. And I'm going to show that to you in the Bible. So get your Bible ready for Acts 2. I'm going to show you Peter by the Holy Ghost saying, on the day of Pentecost, that there would be this latter rain, and that whosoever will, didn't use the word whosoever will, but he used a very plain term. And we're going to go read that term right out of the Bible, which means right out of the mouth of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to see what God says about this coming latter rain, that it will be for whosoever will. Now, you studied the great revivals that have occurred in the past, and there's one thing you're going to find. It was mobs of people that came and got saved, and nobody was rejected who came who wanted to be saved, who gave themselves to be saved, because God doesn't deal with anything that's limited, anything that fails to reach for everybody, anything that respects one group and disrespects another group. God is no respecter of persons. Would you say that with me? Everybody in the radio land, everybody on internet, everybody on Facebook, everybody looking at it when it's archived down the road, the next days to come, weeks to come. Would you say it with me? Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. The Bible is so pure about that. One of my scriptures I read last week, and I'll just refer to it again to amplify it, the words of James concerning the Heavenly Father. And I always love anything that's talking about my Father or my Lord Jesus. I love it. Listen to this. Very careful. I got the wrong book there. I got to get the right one. Give me a moment. Here it is. 5:7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth. The husbandman, you know who that is. That's the Father. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell in Jerusalem, it was a day of whosoever will, and 3,000 were saved in one day in Jerusalem. 3,000. Whosoever will. Everybody that came to Christ got saved. Well, a day or two later, it was 5,000 that the Bible says was converted, received Christ. And a few days later, it was a multitude, a large number, both of men and women and priests even. You know, God's word is so powerful, and I love it. I love it. I love to bring it to you. I love to give it to you straight as an arrow. Precept on precept, line on line, precept on precept, line on line. That's how Brother Chambers has always brought it to you. You realize I started this program in 1972. 1972, be 50 years in 2 more years, approximately. I don't know the exact month. I wish I did. I'm going to try to find that, but I keep not getting around to it. But 50 years in 2 more years, we've been bringing you Open Bible Dialogue. I don't know anybody that has ever been all upset because I said something that didn't come to pass. God's faithful. Not Brother Chambers, but God is faithful. Now, Holy Ghost River, whosoever will. How many of you believe there's going to be a great end time revival? Did you know there's not a lot of people who even believe that? Now, listen to Brother Chambers. I'm telling you, there will be, there has to be a latter rain revival. There has to be. You say, why does it have to be? Because God said it. Not because I said it, but because God said it. God said it, and I'm going to read it to you. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2, and this came at the most marvelous time. I mean, right in the middle of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost has just been poured out in the upper room, and it is spread all over Jerusalem. A multitude has come together, and they're saying maybe they're drunk, maybe this, maybe that, maybe the other. Well, they've always said those kind of things about old-fashioned Christians. But I want to tell you something. The real thing happened that day in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, it's real. It was the Pentecost experience, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The river. Oh, Jesus called it a river. I really like that. That's going to be a term that's going to be in my mind for a long time to come. And that is that this is a river. God always meant for it to be a river. The devil comes, you know, with like an earthquake. The devil comes with evil and dark powers. The devil comes like a storm, the Bible says. But the Holy Ghost River comes like a river. A lot of difference in a storm and a river. A lot of difference. The river can cause a storm when it gets so high. But we're talking about a river in its natural habitation. Flowing like a river. Oh, what a day that's going to be when this revival starts. I'm waiting for it. I want it to start today. If not today, at least by tomorrow. I mean, that's how anxious I am. And I know it's coming. How it's going to start? I don't know. What will happen the first thing? I don't know. The Bible says wonders in the heavens above. That could be the first thing. The day of Pentecost, it was a great breaking in like an earthquake. I mean, the mighty Holy Ghost came and fell upon them. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they was with one place in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. As a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, will it come like a wind? Will it come like a big rain? Will it come with wonders in the heavens above? Will it just be souls rushing to God's house to get saved? How will it come? Well, let's just expect it, and let's just believe for it, and let's get excited about it. I need hundreds and hundreds of intercessors who are praying with us every day, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, every day, not once in a while, but every day, praying, interceding for this great river, for this great latter rain, for the great movement. See, God always uses his saints whenever he's fixing to do something magnificent. Read the Bible, and you'll see there's always the right person at the right place, and God would use them mightily. Campbell Duncan was a source of great revival in the Hybrid Islands. You can read about the men who were sources of great revival in different occasions. God just uses somebody who's yielded. It isn't them that gets the credit. They don't get any glory. If they take the glory, God will stop what he's doing. God's got to have all the glory. The Lord Jesus must be the center of our attention. The mighty Holy Spirit is the power that carries this forth. Not music, not some great singer, not some great preacher, not some great prophetic person, but just the Holy Ghost using somebody who's yielded to him and who loves the Bible. It's got to be when the Bible is precept on precept and line on line. Precept on precept, line on line. If you're messing with the Bible like a cafeteria place, I'm sorry, he's not going to use you for the Holy Ghost awakening. He's going to use somebody, somebody who is mightily full of the Holy Ghost. I saw something blink there. I think I'm supposed to be a little quieter. Well, that's hard for me. You know that. Well, let's go now to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Now, this is the day of Pentecost. You understand? And Peter is the preacher. Peter is the preacher. Remember, he had just recovered from his backsliding. He had denied the Lord thrice. And of course, he suffered intently for it, but he repented devotedly and sovereignly and dedicatedly. And now God is using him on the day of Pentecost, and he's preaching and he's prophesying. Now listen to this. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Now you must understand that Peter said, saith God. This wasn't Peter talking. This was God talking. Peter was the spokesman, but God was the sower, and God was talking. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I preached to the kids in our academy yesterday, and I told them, I said, you teenagers, you could be the ones that God would use to speak prophecy. I said, I want to see that. I'm wanting to see this great day when the Holy Ghost is poured out, and Christian schools that love the Bible will become a source of revival, and the young people will really get saved and become usable to the Holy Spirit, and God can begin to give forth messages of His divine revelation and what He's doing and what He's going to do. Hey, this is what the Bible said, not Brother Chambers. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now you got to hear me when I tell you God is going to move. God is going to make a visitation to this earth. God is coming down, and nobody will doubt it's God. No news reporter will be able to twist it around and give it some secular interpretation. When God moves, it's going to be God, and it's going to be Him mightily manifesting His wonderful self. I'm telling you, my Father is a grand being. My Father is the sovereign one, the almighty one. He's El Shaddai. Oh, he's the I am that I am that he said to Moses. He's Yahweh. He's the great Jehovah God. And he says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, and on my servants and on my, on your sons and your daughters will I pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I guess I'm going to be related to dreaming dreams. Well, no, maybe not. Maybe I'm not quite that old yet. You know, Moses was 80 when he started. Somebody told me the other day, Brother Chambers, 84. That means you're still a little child in Moses' mind. When God started using him, he was 80. They were suggesting, I don't know what they're suggesting. Let me just go on. And on my servants and my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above. Now, folks, you got to get ready for this. I've got to help you get ready for this, because if you don't get ahead of the curve and you don't have some idea of what God's about to do, it's going to blow your little mind when God begins to move. And there's going to be a multitude like that, but God's people shouldn't have to be like that. We should be looking for it. We should be expecting it. Will you get ahead of the curve? I like that term, get ahead of the curve. Get ahead of the normal crowd out there who don't understand the biblical things. I'm helping you. This broadcast has always been something that has been a little jump on the curve. A little jump on whatever the Lord is doing. Remember when God said right here that Hillary Clinton would never be president? He said that 12 years ago, 13 years ago, I guess it is now. And I saw the booklet the other day that the Lord gave me to write. If you'd like to have a copy of that, you call. You can get a copy of why Hillary Clinton will never be president. And I said it real plainly, you know, and I knew it. I never doubted it. I never doubted it all through that election. I never doubted it. And they hate it today. See, everything that's happening concerning our president is because they're angry that God got in the arrangement, and we didn't get a Hillary Clinton to lead us deeper and deeper into the horrible breakdown of anything moral and anything pure and anything holy. I mean, it was hatred against Israel. It was love for aborting kids, children. It was love for the homosexuals and lesbians. It was everything lovable except the Bible. Except the Bible, but God gave us something different. Now, listen, I don't want you to leave me here. Very important. On my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in that day of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, listen, get ahead of the curve. I'm trying to help you. I will show wonders in the heavens above. They're coming. They are coming. Wonders in the heavens above. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. You get ready one day for that sun to go out for a while. It couldn't stay long, or the earth would turn, would freeze. So it has to come back on, because God's in charge of his universe, and he's not going to destroy it. Never. He's going to renew it and redo it and rebuild it and make it a heaven on earth. And we're going to have a 1,000-year millennial reign. And that could start in as little as 7 years. All we got to have is the rapture, 7-year tribulation. And then Jesus comes back to the earth to reign 1,000 years. And we're going to reign with him if we've been faithful to him, if we belong to him. But until before then, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Now listen, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before. Now you got to hear that word before. Before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Before the Lord can come back to reign on this earth 1,000 years. Not before the rapture. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about when the Lord comes to the earth. Before the Lord come. All of this has got to happen. It can happen before the rapture. It can happen. It will happen after the rapture. In fact, it can happen from now until Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom. And it's going to happen, and the sun's going to be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. As sure as I sit here in this chair and talk to you on internet and on Facebook and on the radio, I'm telling you this is going to happen. But I read all of that because I want to read verse 21 to you. Verse 21 of Acts 2. And it shall come to pass. And it shall, S-H-A-L-L, come to pass. That whosoever, I like that. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's the purpose of today's broadcast, is to show you that when this latter rain begins, it's going to be whosoever getting saved. And whosoever is going to be a multitude. I will show you that in Revelation in a little bit. I will show it to you without a question, without a doubt, that whosoever means whosoever. So that men and women, if there's any church that will be the first churches to go out of business, it will be those into Calvinism. Those into Reformed theology. Those who are preaching limited atonement. Man, you going out of business. I'm telling you, preacher man, listen to me. I'm telling you, church members distorted churches preaching that there's a limit to the atonement. It's not for everybody. That a great company of people are chosen to go to hell and they don't have any choice. Oh, I tell you, that John Wesley used to come out against this. He came out against it with all he was. He told him, you know, you don't even need a devil if you believe in this doctrine of limited atonement. If you believe God's already decided everybody's going to be saved and everybody can't be saved, what do we need the devil for? He don't even have a purpose. That's what John Wesley told him. He laid it on him. Thank God for John Wesley. He was one Trojan of the Bible. And that's what God needs, is Trojans of the Bible. Trojans of the Bible. So, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call. Whosoever means whosoever. You can't reduce whosoever. Save your life. Did you know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four gospel writers, used the word whosoever 81 times? Did you hear me? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John used the word whosoever 81 times. Did you know the Old Testament writers all together, I have to look at my notes here, used the word whosoever 109 times in the New Testament. 109 times, 81 just in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's how important the whosoever was to them. So I'm here today to bring you the plain, unvarnished truth that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Right now and from now on, but especially when this great latter rain comes, it's going to be a sweeping of this river. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 47, wherever that river flows, healing is going to take place. That river is going to give life to everything it touches. Oh, I want that river to fill me until everybody I see and everybody I touch and everybody that hears me preaching will hear the gospel and want to get saved. That's my prayer. That's my burden, that God will get a hold of us and this river will start flowing, and it is going to flow. There is no question. Please don't question the Bible. It's line on line and precept on precept. It's line on line and precept on precept. And this great latter rain is coming. I'm going to be a part of it. I mean, God's promised me I'm going to be a part of it. I may die right after it starts. I'm only 84, you know, and I may die right after it starts, but just let me see it start. And then if you want to take me to heaven, Father, take me on one of your Holy Ghost chariots. Now, I know I don't mean a real chariot. I mean a Holy Ghost pickup. Hallelujah. Just ascending up through the stratosphere. I know if I don't go before the rapture, I'm going to have to go by the way of the grave. And I don't like graveyards. I go over there to where my one Anita is buried. And I want to take my hands and dig her out. I can't stand her down in that turf. I really can't. I can't stand it. I will be so glad when she comes out of there. How happy will it make me to know that she has risen from the dead and is ascending? You see, he comes back to get the dead in the graves, brings their bodies, their being with them, their new body, and they're resurrected and transformed and get their new body when they come up out of that grave. And she's going to be Juanita. Let me get off of that, because I get all entangled in the love I had for that sweetheart. But I want to tell you, By God's grace, that day is coming, and the river is going to flow. This Holy Ghost river is going to flow, and many, 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 many are going to get saved. Now, I want to read that again. Now, you see where it's at, okay? Everybody knows Acts chapter 2, starts with verse 17. He talks about this Holy Ghost latter rain coming to pass in the end. He says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, you go study those last days. That means the last of the last. That's the final days, the final hours, the final time, right here, now, before the coming of the Lord, before the great return of Christ to reign on the earth 1,000 years. You see, the rapture is not the return of Christ. The rapture is a rapture. He comes into the midair. He does not come down to the earth. He comes into the midair, and we are caught up to meet him. Isn't that beautiful? That's the rapture. But the second coming is when he comes back to the earth to set up his kingdom. He will come back to Megiddo. He will go from there, maybe other stops, but on his way to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, that eastern gate that leads into the temple area, temple area, and temple not there yet, but leads into the temple area. That eastern gate will be open after being closed for hundreds of years. And our Lord is going to enter that eastern gate. That's in Ezekiel 2. Ezekiel also, let me say, no, I mean Ezekiel chapter 2, but also, my friend, you got to hear me when I tell you this latter rain is really coming. And it's going to be a harvest time. Whosoever will, the greatest time of this great gospel, when bringing sinners to Christ, it will be the greatest revival in human history. I believe that. Now, I don't have a scripture for that, but I believe that. I believe everything that talks about it would indicate it will be the greatest revival in human history. And it's coming like a glorious river. I'm so glad it's coming like a river, not like a storm. I'm so glad it won't be just a lot of human emotion and human insanity, as these events in so-called Pentecost has been so often through the years. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. God's never crazy. He does nothing crazy. He does nothing insanely. He does nothing that's embarrassing. I cut on my tablet of the day, and there was a man standing on the top of a pulpit. dancing and playing an instrument, if I remember right, doing something. And he's standing on top of the pulpit. And he would tell you the Holy Ghost put him up there. I would tell him insanity put him up there. If it's a church where I pastor, I'd reach up and get him. I'd get him. And he'd come off my pulpit. I'm going to tell you that right now. God does things orderly, in order. He does things that are beautiful and that are pure. And he doesn't do things insanely. Okay? No, don't get bugged at me now. Some of you radical Pentecostals, I've said often, if I didn't believe this Pentecostal blessing was absolutely the truth, I'd want to get out of some of the messes I've seen called Pentecost. I love what this Bible does. Everything God does will be in the book. Do you hear me? If it's not in the book, you stay away from it. It'll be in the book. Anything the book does, I can do. Anything the book does, I'm for it. Anything that's beyond and outside the book, I want nothing to do with it, okay? Now, I read you that verse in James 5:7, okay? Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. God is waiting for the latter rain. God is waiting. Now, he's not waiting because he's putting it off. He's waiting for the right number of intercessors and saintly men and women who have precept on precept. You know, I've often said before the latter rain revival could come, the church had to get back to keeping the Lord's Day holy. Now, I've changed that. When the revival comes, the church will get back to keeping the Lord's Day holy. Us keeping the Lord's Day holy won't bring it, that alone. But when the revival comes, we will keep the Lord's Day holy. I'll guarantee you that the Sabbath day will become so beautiful, so breathtaking. I'm here to tell you, I can hardly wait for that sovereign latter rain. Now let's go to the book of Revelation. I want to show you. See, this revival that's coming is going to proceed, I believe, before the rapture. I'm praying for that. It don't actually say that, but I believe that's true. I believe it's fixing to happen now, intimately, just any minute. I don't know how it's going to start. There may be places already beginning. The river starts out only ankle deep, you understand. Only ankle deep. Then it goes up to knee deep. Then it goes up to loin deep. Then it goes over the head. I'm longing for the over the head, I'm telling you. Now listen, let's go to Revelation 7. Revelation 7, and then let's go to Revelation, let's see here what verse do we start reading it, Revelation 7, and after this verse 9, this is when the revival continues on past the rapture into the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation period will be a breathtaking time of Holy Ghost revival. And I can prove it right here. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. Now listen to that. No man could number. Now this is why I say this will be a greater revival even than Pentecost, because they could number them. We won't be able to number them. That's just what the book said. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations. Now listen to this. Of all nations and kindred and people and tongues. See, this revival will sweep the earth. This revival will cover this earth. There will be no nation excluded. Iran will have to put up with a revival among their people for the Christ and for the blessed Redeemer. I'm telling you, it's coming like a storm. I stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, salvation which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell upon their face upon their faces, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessed and holy and wonder and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders said unto me, answering, said unto me, who are these? And whence did they come from? I mean, John is there, and he's seeing this drama of this whole awakening, this great event. And here's multitudes, and they're standing before the Lamb. This is in the middle of the tribulation period now, in the middle of the tribulation period. And they stand before the Lamb. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. John didn't know who they were. John didn't know where they came from. John did not understand this. And he said, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So here's this multitude that have gotten saved now since the rapture. Now, this is part of that great awakening. I believe the great awakening starts before the rapture. But here's a picture of a multitude getting saved after the rapture. So the revival moves right on from before, whenever it starts. Now, I don't know that it starts before the rapture. But I believe that Peter would indicate that in Acts 2. And I believe James would indicate that in James 5. And I believe the scripture is clear that before the rapture takes place, there can be a multitude saved. I believe it's coming after a church that's on fire. I don't believe it's coming after a church that's in the shape it's in right now. I hope he don't. I hope he waits, because I got too many I know that need to get right with God. I mean, there's a multitude out there that are desperate to get right with God, and you can't seem to move them. I got children. I got grandchildren. I got wonderful friends. I got people all over this city and communities. I know so many businessmen. They treat me with the greatest of honor. But I want them saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost. I don't want them honoring me. I want them honoring him. But I want to live so that they can honor me. I want them to know I've been faithful. I've been line on line, precept on precept all of my life. And I say that with great thanksgiving to God, not to brag on me. I am nothing. But, oh, he's everything. And that Bible is absolute, and you can believe it. Every word of it is true. It doesn't fail. Doesn't fail. So he makes it plain, sir, thou knowest. And then he answered, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. These shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into the living fountains of water. Oh, living fountains of water. Again, the rivers. The rivers, hallelujah. And God shall wipe away all their tears. Now that's Revelation 7. And that is in the tribulation. The tribulation starts at the beginning of chapter 6. In chapter 7, we have 144,000 of the Jews who've got right with God since the rapture. 144,000 have gotten right with God since the rapture at this time. By the end of the tribulation, 7 years, all the Jews will be saved. Oh, it's going to be a revival that sweeps Israel into the harvest field, that sweeps Israel into the church of Jesus Christ. Well, at least to the family of Jesus Christ. They will not be part of the church, but the family of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a day. Now, church, I'm telling you that this latter rain is coming. And what I want to prove this day is whosoever will. I want you to see this as a sweeping of revival. No exclusion anywhere. It's over and over, says it plain. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what Peter said. That's Acts 2, remember? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Acts 2:21. So you go read it, quote it to anybody you want to quote it to, and warn your preacher, if he's preaching this limited atonement, that he better get his doctrine straight or he's going to be swept aside. I'm telling you, when this revival starts, it will sweep aside that whole crowd of Calvinists who preach limited atonement. It'll sweep it aside. If you're part of that, get out of it if you don't want to be swept aside, or get ready to change then. But it may be too late. I don't know. I don't know what point people can change and can't change. That's up to God. I'm going to leave that in His hands. I'm not going to touch that. That's His. But I'm telling you, it's going to be a sweeping revival, and it's going to be whosoever will. If there's anything that's going to characterize this great latter rain river, if there's anything that's going to characterize it, it's going to be whosoever will. Nothing speaks of it better. Nothing describes it more fully. Nothing is clearer. And that's the word of today. That's what the Holy Spirit gave me this week. He poured it in my heart, and it got a hold of me. And I've been shouting all week over whosoever will. That means nobody excluded anybody. And right now, it's whosoever will. If you want to, you can get saved. You say, well, maybe He won't pay me no attention. You give Him your desires. He'll take care of the conviction. I've never known a person who got hungry for God to save them that they didn't come under conviction. See, once you get hungry, many are called, but few are chosen. You get hungry, you know you've been called. You know He's dealing with you. He wants you in the camp, in the family. Oh, He does. He does. Now, I've got 22 more minutes. And I got plenty to talk about. I got numbers of scriptures here, and we're going to be reading them. But while we're reading them, I'm going to open these lines for you to call. I would love to take some questions about this great latter rain, and especially about the fact that it will be a whosoever will rain, a whosoever will river. It'll be for anybody and everybody. And it will be a multitude. You follow, go study any of the great revivals. Go study them. And you look at them and watch them, and you'll find that they swept multitudes in, and there was no talk of the stuff of, well, maybe you can't get saved, maybe you can't get saved. Nobody was told that. How could you tell somebody? What would you dare have a house full of kids if you knew half of them was going to be in the crowd that have no redemption? I mean, that's the most... I want to talk about that. Ask me some questions about that, please. Because it upsets me that anybody would dare preach this kind of limited atonement. And I'm telling you, equal with this limited atonement is this business of telling people once you're saved, you're always going to be saved. I don't care what you do. Did you know that means the homosexual who as a child raised in a Christian home and he got saved and served God sometime for years and then later he backslides and goes out in the world, becomes a homosexual? They are people now who are preaching that homosexuals and lesbians can be saved and serve God living in that lifestyle. And I'm telling you, that is an untrue thing. And I don't want to make a big to-do out of that because I want to reach everybody. I just want to help you. Whatever you are, I want to help you. And I want to tell anybody listening to me that whosoever will can come. And so I'm trying. God has really told me. I've spent years trying to open up false doctrines and help people understand them and help people get delivered from them. And I've kind of give up on that. The Lord is telling me just get in the river and get people getting in the river. And you won't have no trouble with nothing because every false doctrine will be swept away. Every false doctrine is going to dissipate and fall by the wayside. Every false doctrine is going to go the way of all false doctrines in the past. They're just going to vanish. I'm telling you, they are going to vanish. Now, you see very sure that in the book of Revelation, that revival has continued right on into the tribulation period. And a multitude have been saved in 3.5 years of all the nations and tongues and people. I mean, that's a pretty plain statement. It's hard to get around Revelation 7, beginning with verse 9 and reading 3 or 4 verses there. You can't doubt that this is going to be a sweeping event. Oh, yeah, there'll be persecution like you've never heard of. It'll be horrible persecution. But that's okay. A man who really gets saved can endure persecution. Did you know that? And being persecuted for Christ is actually an honor. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hey, when you get persecuted, don't get mad and all ugly and treat people dirty and dark. Do like Stephen did when they were stoning him to death. He looked up to heaven and saw the Lord standing at the Father's right hand. And what did he cry out? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Every enemy you got, you pray for their forgiveness. Every enemy you've got, you love them and keep weeping for them. I'm telling you, I get on my knees and God begins to pour somebody in my mind that I know hates me terribly and have been ugly and mean. And I ask the Lord to help me. And before I know it, I'm weeping and sobbing for them. That's how it's got to be for the saints. We must be weeping, godly men and women interceding and crying out to God. Now go with me to John 3:16. There's nothing more beautiful than this. You know, heart of the Bible. Let me begin reading with verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, before I read verse 16, the phones are open. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Would you call me? Would you call me, please? I would love it if you would call. That's the number. 704-391-0588. Oh, you got it? I hope you got it. I'm going to leave it up there a minute. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, that whosoever believeth in him, not on him, but in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the text of the Bible. That's the text I love with everything in me. Thank God for the Father who gave his Son. Thank God for the Father. Why don't you look up to heaven and say, thank you, Father, for giving your Son. Thank you, Father, for giving the prize of your heart, the prize of your heart, the prize of your great kingdom, your own Son, to die on the cross, to suffer intently. The suffering of Christ was so intent that the Father could not look upon it. The Bible tells us that after this period of time, the Son cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had turned his back and God had let his Son die alone. The only time in the Son's eternal history that he didn't have the backing of the Father and the substance of the Father, that he wasn't bound unity with the Father, was when he was suffering the horrible sins of mankind upon that cross. And the Father turned his back. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to me, sinner. I read yesterday on Facebook, this man was telling about what he was before he got saved. And he gave this horrible list of what he was. And I wrote a little note at the bottom and said, man, I believe you were just a little bit worse than I was. Because I hadn't done some of those things that he had done. Womanizing. Never kissed another woman in my life but my Juanita. So I've never been guilty of womanizing. I've never been guilty of drugs and those things. But I was a sinner, horrible sinner. I didn't deserve Christ. I should have went to hell. But the Father gave his Son so that I didn't have to go to hell. And God gave his Son so that you don't have to go to hell. I'm looking straight at you, brothers, sirs, ladies. I'm looking straight at you. And I'm trying to tell you with everything in my heart, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to spend eternity in a place that's a literal hell of hells, a great fire dungeon. I'm telling you, friend, Jesus loves you and he wants to save you. Jesus loves you and he wants to save you. And I'm crying out to you, whosoever will. I get animated when I read John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You are on the line. May I help you, please?
Brother Chambers, this is your friend from Tennessee calling.
Hey, my brother.
We've been talking about Calvinism.
Yes.
I've listened to you for years, and you've taken all the controversial topics, music, alternate lifestyles, politics. You got more ugly calls on Calvinism than anything.
I know. It's a big doctrine.
Keep that. It's amazing. But, you know, you've said it, Acts 2:21, Revelation 22:17, 2 Peter 3:9. Any should come. He would not desire that any should perish. All should come to repentance.
Yes.
And in this Calvinism, it's all wrong.
I mean, it's as wrong as it can be, my friend, doctor. It is as wrong as it can be. And it, what it does, it leaves so many people. See, the church is built on that. They don't have to worry about nothing. If they're Calvinists, they can, nothing they did is going to make them anything less than being saved. I mean, it's a terrible doctrine.
Hey, if I'm Calvinist, why should I try?
Just do whatever the flesh wants to do, because you're going to be saved whether you like it or not. I'll never forget Tommy Ice. You've probably seen his name. Wonderful friend of mine. I love Tommy. I believe he loves the Lord. But one day he introduced me. He was at a big prophecy conference, and I'd been asked to be one of the speakers. And Tommy was introducing me to one of his friends. And he said, Brother Chambers is one of the few Armenians in this group. And I said, hey, let me tell you the difference in Tommy Ice and Joe Chambers. He said, tell me. I said, Tommy serves God because he has to. I serve God because I want to.
That's right. That's right.
I serve God because I want to serve him.
And my pastor put it this way. All this business about the elect, God knows everything, but his knowledge does not make it causative.
Exactly.
It's a free will, and man has a free will.
It can't be any. How did the devil sin if he didn't have a free will?
Exactly.
How did Adam and Eve fall in the garden if they didn't have a free will? Read the Bible from beginning to end, and you cannot ever, I mean, it's just not possible to ever get away from the fact that man has whosoever. Did you hear me say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John use the word whosoever 81 times?
That all should come to repentance.
Yes.
Not the elect, that all should come. Whosoever will.
Well, you know, there's one thing God don't know. God don't know your sins that have been washed away by the blood.
I'm glad for that.
I'm glad he don't. I'm glad I don't either.
Yeah.
Man, I love you. You are such a precious friend.
Hey, we love you too. We love listening to you on the radio. And we just pray for your health and your wisdom and your strength to keep doing this.
Have you ever heard me when I got off the Bible?
No. No.
I believe it's priests. Did you know that Isaiah in 26 says 8 times in 5 scriptures, 8 times now, precept on precept, line on line. Those two things, 4 times each, in 4 verses of the scripture, 5 verses I believe it is, he says precept, this is the root of the great awakening that's coming. Any church that gets involved in this great end time revival will have to come to the point that they say of their Bible, line on line, precept on precept.
Well, my wife's dear uncle, who passed a couple of years ago, was a preacher, and he preached this. He said, there's going to be a big revival in the end day, probably the greatest of all time. And the same verses you're preaching on today.
Yes. I remember as a young preacher, I've been pastoring 63 years this summer. 63 years. My wife with me, 60 of them. And oh, how we loved working together and being partners of one another. I'm praying for a widow. That's a godly woman. Will you pray with me for that if it would please the Father?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be his gift. And I believe I know who it is. I saw her one time. And I'm aching to see her again. But God's got to deal with it. I don't want nothing that God don't give me.
That's right.
If I found something, I might make a mess, man. I can't imagine anything worse than a man my age getting married and it not working out, and she leaves him in a few months or weeks. You know, no. I want nothing but what God's planning.
That's right.
So pray for me, and I'm going to be faithful to God either way. It don't matter. I'm going to be faithful until my toes are turned up.
That's right. In the middle of God's will is the safest place to be.
It's the... Oh, you make me want to sob. It's the only place to be.
That's right.
It's so beautiful. It's so much peace when you're in the center of God's will. When you just turn yourself over to God. See, if you make all you are available to Him, you know what He'll do? He'll make all He is available to you.
That's right.
Isn't that powerful?
That's great.
And if you're on fire for God, you're too hot for the devil to hound.
That's right.
Great. Thank you for calling me.
You're welcome. God bless you. We'll see you along the way.
Yes, please. Let's see one another now before the end. Please, please. Plan to come to camp meeting this summer. In the last week of June, first week of July, those right in between a little bit of both months, plan it and come and be with me. That would be the sweetest thing in the world.
That would be great.
I'm going to look for you.
I'm praying for you too.
Bye-bye. Hey, give us a call, friend. Give us a call, 704-391-0588. Hey, that's the doctor man. Wonderful friend. Wonderful friend. He's helped us for many years, and he loves the truth of the Bible. He loves the truth of the Bible. And he's heard me get calls on this Calvinistic thing because the church, listen, let me tell you, now listen to me. I am of the opinion that the majority of all of these mega churches, the majority of all of them, Elevation here in the city of Charlotte with thousands, other churches with thousands, and in almost every case, the preacher preaches Calvinism. He preaches, you know, God's going to take care of that. And if you sin a little bit, don't worry about it. You can't ever lose yourself. I mean, it's amazing to me what they preach. And I'm telling you, it's dangerous. But the first thing going down the tube, one of the first, I should say, to make it a little clearer, one of the first will be this idea that there's limited atonement, that there's limited people who can be saved. That some can and some can't. God's reserved, they think, thousands, multitudes, millions upon millions who are going to go to hell and nothing can change it. They don't have any option to make an appeal to God. They're just lost and that's it. In fact, they don't believe they have a heart to even make an appeal because they believe in the five doctrines of Calvinism. They call it the tulip. And let me give it to you. Total depravity is number one, T, and then UTU, unconditional election. Number three is limited atonement. Number four is irresistible grace. And number five is perseverance of the saints. Those five doctrines is the heart. Well, there's some good in each of those ideas. There is depravity in our hearts, but not total. A man can turn to God if he wants to. A man can turn to God if he wants to. Now, he can't decide when the Holy Ghost is going to turn to him. But I guarantee you one thing, if you turn to God, my Bible tells me very plain, seek after the Lord with all your heart and you'll find him. You will find him. He is a God of faithfulness. I got time for one more call, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. When I have a call like that, it really thrills me. And it was so clear. We're getting some things done to our telephone lines around here, and it's going to be better than it's ever been. I promise you. I promise you that. It's just in the making. Just in the making. I won't say anything more about it because it's all in the making. Let me read to you now. I want to tell you, go to John 14 with me. Go to John 14. If the church doesn't have revival, you got to understand it's the church's fault. You understand that? Listen to John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. I go unto the Father. I love John 14 and 28. This is beautiful. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again. Unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. Listen to this. For the Father, my Father, he says, for my Father is greater than I. The Lord Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. Don't you ever let anything make you doubt that God the Father gave his Son, and that God the Father is greater than his Son. And it's all a beautiful thing. Now, this latter rain river, I like that word, Holy Ghost River. You remember now, Jesus called it a river in John 7:35. He said, rivers of living water in your innermost being. Belly he used, but he meant the innermost life. He's going to fill you with a river of living. How many of you want the river? Do you want the river? Or are you satisfied with the trickling brook? You're satisfied with just a faucet with a few drops coming out. You ever tried to drop your hand, wash your hands when the water went off and all you got was a few drops and it didn't work? Well, that's what the church is today, a few drops. A few drops. Most places, they don't even have no drops. I want a river. I'm looking for it tomorrow. I'm looking for it tomorrow. I know it's coming. I don't have any doubt. I have no doubt it's coming. You say, Reverend Chambers, you're 84. It's time you retired. I ain't retiring. What you talking about? I'll retire when God tells me I can. Let me tell you what God said to Isaiah. He was a great example, brother. Isaiah 6. God told him what he was to do, and Isaiah was concerned and said, Lord, how long? And the Lord said, until the land be wasted without inhabitants. I will quit when there's nobody to preach to. I will quit when there's nobody to cry out at. I know my eyes giving me a fit, and I'm thanking him for healing me. I believe he's going to heal me. But if he don't, I'm memorizing every scripture I can, just getting more and more of it inside of me, inside of my mind, so I can preach without reading, if that's what it ever comes to. I've got to have this Bible. I've got to preach this great book. And I've got to see a Holy Ghost revival. And God's going to give me that widow. She may be listening to me. If you're listening to me and God's been dealing with you, dear lady, you better obey him. Don't put it off. It's going to get, a widow who leaves a wonderful ministry of music and singing and great ministry, it will be a sacrifice probably for her to say, I'm going over there and start helping Brother Chambers and be his wife. It would be a sacrifice. But God takes care of sacrifices and turns them into great, great blessings. Anytime you do what God tells you to do, you're going to be the winner. I promise you, you're going to be the winner. God knows what he's doing, and God never does it wrong, and you don't have to worry about him. God is on top of the situation. I got time, maybe for one call, but I do want you to remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm excited about that life that he offers and gives. And what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. God is a great God. He never fails. He never fails. He's right on time. He's right on target. He loves you. He cares about you. Hey, come to church tomorrow. I'd love to have you at Paul Creek tomorrow. 5110 Tuckasegee Road. I'm Pastor Chambers. We have lunch after the service, and we welcome all of our visitors to go over to the cafeteria and eat some of the finest food you ever eat. It is just absolutely wonderful. I've been thinking about cooking another big pot of oyster stew tomorrow. I don't know if I'll get it done. I'm going to try. Excuse me. Well, I've talked an hour without breathing almost. You know me. I'm bad for it, but I love him. Oh, I love him. I love you. I want you to know that I love my radio audience, and I love my internet audience, and I love my Facebook audience. You are special to me beyond anything I can tell you or describe to you. You are special to me, and I want to be a blessing like I've never been. This is the last minute here, but please visit us tomorrow. Why don't you come and be with us? Get away from these false doctrines. Please don't ever, ever say again that you believe God has limited the atonement and only certain people can be saved. Please don't say that again. Breaks my heart when I hear it, because God loves everybody out there. The great harvest of the earth is on his heart. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, the father, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Oh, what a day that's going to be, church. What a day that's going to be. He's coming, and he's coming very soon, and I can hardly wait for him to come. Well, let's have a little music here as Brother Chambers leaves you. God bless you. You're precious to me. You're precious to me. I promise you, you are precious to me. And well,
clinical trials.
Well, why is that thing not doing what it's
327, our Lord's return to earth.
Oh, well, there she is announcing it. How about that? You'll hear it now. Hey,
I am watching for the coming of the glad millennial day when our blessed Lord shall come.
Love you.
Catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray. For our Lord is coming back to earth again.
earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will